It's time for the High School Report, covering all the local sports action in the community on Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle.
Welcome back. Time for the High School Report, brought to you by Kelly Bird Dozier, your number one excavating contractor. You can call them at 778-1902. Kelly Bird Dozier proudly supporting the youth of our community. And gentlemen, the youth were playing a lot of football on Friday, and I don't know where y'all planned to start, but I thought, David, we'd start with the game that we were at because we weren't sure what Brian was going to do in this game. If you'd have told me beforehand that Brian was going to lose by 20, I'd have said, yeah, maybe. It's good. That could happen. You know, and instead, they looked I don't want to say they looked great, but they looked good Friday night.
Yeah, they looked very good, I thought. And I actually had that very same conversation with a Huntsville graduate who was working for Sam Houston the other night as we were headed down toward the field after the game. And she and I basically agreed that we thought Huntsville probably had if anybody was going to win in a runaway, they were probably the team most likely to do that. Boy, that was absolutely not the case. They looked, running the football, I thought they were tremendous. You know, and I went back and I was trying to think, is there a turning point on a thing like that? We talk about with passes, you see that. And I thought that block in that first touchdown drive that Jarvis Lister threw, that where he just leveled basically a guy and got Hunter Batten to the outside, I thought, yeah, that kind of sets a tone even for even your offensive lineman when your fullback throws a block like that.
Yeah, there was a couple turning points early. For me, it was just the fact, and this is what I think now, if you're a Brian fan, you have a lot of confidence going later in the season, is that they didn't panic when they went down 7-0 right at the beginning. And
Huntsville looked good early.
Yeah, Huntsville looked unstoppable the first few drives. If they don't fumble on that first one, they would have been up 14-0 probably, or 14-7, I guess, because Brian scored. But they didn't panic. They came right out, ran the offense, and you could see, it's one of those things that's a cliche, and they say it all the time, but you could see the confidence grow for Brian throughout the first half. And by halftime, they were thinking, hey, we're a pretty good football team.
Yeah, I've had people tell me over the years that you can't carry momentum from week to week. I just don't believe that. You know, I've just never believed that. And sometimes it does come in a game like that. And I really did think they played well. I thought that was a very good game for the Vikings, and I think it got to the point defensively. I was looking at their defensive numbers, Larry, today, that Brian didn't have really one standout player on defense, but they had a really good defensive game. And shutting down a quarterback that you saw, Enrico Bennett, it's a pretty darn good quarterback, and with good receivers, too.
Yeah, you guys saw the game, and I didn't, but I can say this. You know, I covered Consol against Huntsville the previous week, so I saw some of Huntsville's capabilities. I'm curious. And Huntsville stormed back and got ahead of Consolidated in the fourth quarter and then let it slip away when their defense had just been dominating and they gave up a big play. And I don't know how much that took out of them. But last week when I was doing preview stories, I talked to the Willis coach, and he said something that probably most everybody thinks in the district. Maybe I don't know how many people are willing to say it. But he basically said there was a big four. And it's our three local schools, College Station, Bryan, and A&M Consolidated, along with Huntsville. And that's how most people view the district. So in light of that, I certainly thought that two of those four teams playing each other, I thought Bryan going to Huntsville was the biggest game of the week.
Yeah.
And then the fact, and as Aubrey said, you know, they hadn't played particularly well on the road. I talked to Ross Rogers Saturday for a story that ran in today's paper, kind of recapping the Friday action. But Ross said that was really big because they proved they could get on the bus and go play. But I just
which
think,
they had not done in their other two road games. They lost both those, right?
But having seen the teams, and I got to see College Station, obviously, in a non-district game against Elgin, but I have a feel for them. I've heard you talk about Brian. I've seen Consolidated. Now I've seen Huntsville and Willis. Most people would put Willis probably in the five slot, and if they were ranking teams in terms of their ability or their threat. So I've seen those teams, and I just thought that was a very difficult game. And so having not seen it, I don't see how it couldn't be anything but great for the Vikings going into the game against Consolidated, because not only did Brian win on the road against a good team, we don't know if Huntsville's not great, but it's a good team. Not only did Brian do that, but Brian, I read your story. Brian ran the football. They contained an offense that has the potential to be explosive. And I think that's exactly what Brian will need to do in order to win Friday. If they can run the football and make some plays offensively, and then Consol does have some guys who can make some big plays. So to me, it had to be the perfect kind of set up for Brian. I didn't see it, but I've seen the other teams, and I think that's exactly what you would ask for.
I thought they did well. There's the Crosstown Showdown coming up this week. It's the original Crosstown Showdown, which goes back to the 80s. Does it still have the same feel? Because I think even last year it probably did, and I think it was in part because Consol had that long winning streak.
Right.
And when Brian ended that last year, a pretty good game, very entertaining game last year, when Brian ended that, it seems like the game shifted a little bit. Maybe it's because it's not at A&M anymore. And this is only the second time it will have been played at Viking Stadium / Merrill Green Stadium.
I think it's not quite the same, David, for a couple of reasons. It's a good point you brought up that Brian broke the streak. You know, Consol's long streak in that series had been kind of a sticking point. Mm-hmm. But I think the other thing that makes it less is the fact that College Station, at this point last year, when Brian played A&M Consolidated, we figured College Station would be pretty good. I don't know if people knew how good the Cougars would be. They end up finishing second. They end up finishing ahead of A&M Consolidated. But I think
and they finished second by falling in overtime to Bryant, they were a good second, right.
But they are so – the strength that they showed and the fact that they've made themselves a team to contend with in the district, I think it makes it more of a three-team thing now. So I think it does take a little luster off the old Crosstown Showdown because in other days, you might say there's been a lot of years in the district when you'd figure Consol or Brian, that would probably be it. But now, I mean, I think most people would look at the three, College Station, Brian, and Consol, and you can shuffle them however you want to. But I think the fact that there's three instead of two, it does take just a little bit away. There'll still be but not much. But I think based on what I've heard a few things already that, you know how kids are. Sadly, we live in a society that talks a lot more than it plays, and very mean spirited. And I've heard there's already been smack talking going between Consol kids and College Station kids. That's probably last week already. Last week, and probably the ones doing the smack talking are somebody who couldn't get on the field if you were playing six man, but that doesn't matter. Right. But I just think it takes away a little bit. I would say real quickly about the game that A&M Consolidated played over at Willis. I thought Willis looked down and not as good as I thought Willis would be. Looked like they were kind of beaten down by that lopsided loss that they had the previous week against College Station. And Consol played solid. Their defense played better. I don't know how that translates into this week. The funny thing is, David Raphael said he thought that Huntsville had the best – I'm Huntsville, excuse me – that Willis had the best offensive line they had played this year. They played, they played Richmond Foster. They played Elkins. They played Huntsville. And
pretty good compliment.
Yeah, and I'm not – I don't know, but that's what he said, so maybe that prepares him because their defense did play better. They only gave up 202 yards. They overcame kind of a rocky start, so that was a good win for them. And as I wrote in today's paper, that for Brian and Consol to go on the road and beat Huntsville and Willis says they are what we thought they are.
Yeah,
right.
Agree. Yeah, I think
and
so.
Then College Station's win. We need to talk about that. I was really surprised, and I'm not.
I was surprised they got up as big as they did so early.
And
it's
very
much like what happened last year.
Yeah, you know me, David. I'm not going to rip on people or do the negative thing. So I'm not going to go after Rutter. I do feel like Will Compton and his guys are making some progress, but I'll just look at it from the standpoint of College Station. They went in to play a team that I'm sure was stinging from the lopsided loss last year, and a team that's improved, and you know how it is. It can snowball when you start that way. But I still think that's really impressive. With College Station still having games coming up against Bryan and Consolidated, remember the fact that Reese Easterling has taken over for Ty Brock, and you would think he would get better as he goes along. I'm not saying he's going to be better, but you think he has more room for improvement than B.J. Ross and Mason Hixon do, because they're both in their second year as starters.
I agree.
And this guy's new. So I think the fact that they won that game so convincingly, that gets my attention. I saw them beat Elgin 64-0, but that didn't get my attention. Because of who they were playing. But that's a pretty impressive performance for the Cougars.
Yeah, 62-7, I believe, was the score of that game. The Bryan win was 44-21, really wasn't that close, because a couple of those late touchdowns were kind of throwaways at the end of the game. And your score was
36-9. And really, you know, Willis scored late. They should have kept them out of the end zone. But they did play better defensively, and particularly play better defensively up front. And certainly they'll have to do that about in the game against Bryan. In the area, I didn't see a lot of upsets, David. You're always better about that than I am. I don't want to.
Caldwell's upset.
I don't want to.
Caldwell's went over Mahia's.
Yeah,
upset.
I don't want to twist the knife on a Mahia guy, but I thought that was really a good win. 49-45 for Caldwell.
49-45. So they actually did beat the over under for the Baylor.
Yeah, and you said it would. It had a potential to be that kind of game, but I thought that was really good for Coach Goforth and his guys.
I agree with you, and I think they head into that district. And right now, that district looks like it's up for grabs. The Grange does have a loss now going into the district. And you got a five-team district. And I think it's a three-way battle to see who's going to win that thing. And Cameron's got to factor into it now, because they've beaten quality people in Rockdale and Mahia in back-to-back games. And Rockdale got back on track, too, with their win over Madisonville. I have great news for everyone else in Class 3A. Franklin is off this week. Their 77-0 win over Hearn.
Holy cow. Yeah, those guys are going. I'm going to have to – I talked to you earlier today. I'm going to have to get Coach Hedrick, get a hold of him and write something about those Mighty Lions in the column. But since they do have a bye this week, I went another direction. And it's kind of a review of last week, and also just kind of a, you know, I like to tease that column, buddy, for tomorrow's paper. But I talked to Kyle Hardy, the coach over at Centerville, and the amazing thing is they're getting ready to start district coming up Friday, and they're playing against a team that's 5-0 in Lovelady. Centerville is 0-5, and Centerville might win that game.
It could be that close.
I mean,
agree with you.
Have you ever heard of a game when the 0-5 team is, if not favorite, almost favorite? They played really good people. I looked at their games. They played 3A, 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 and then a really strong 2A. That was powerful, and so they played good people. And so I'm writing about the Centerville Tigers in tomorrow's column. They're 0-5, but they're going to be playing in week 11 when the playoffs start, so they might be playing as a district champion. We'll find that out this week.
And they were a semifinalist last year. Right. And advice to Charlie Strong, you might call over to Centerville to understand how it's done, because you got to figure out a way out. And that's part of it, you know.
Yeah, you always get a fight.
And before we go, let me just get, you know, put a plug in wherever we can. The Bearcats did beat the Lumberjacks. That's a pretty big win. I know that's not high school sports, but I'm sure there's some high school kid from the Brazos Valley playing on one of those teams.
Oh, there's probably several.
It's just a stretch. Imagine. It's like 7 degrees of separation from at least we beat SFA.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Well, I mean, we got to see your stadium over there. It's a nice stadium on Friday night. Good video board, nice sound, good food. It was good stuff. All right, we're going to go. That's going to do it for the
all the important
report.
Details.
Yeah, that's all that people care about. That was today's high school report brought to you by Kelly Bird Dozer, your number one excavating contractor. You can call them at 778-1902. Kelly Bird Dozer is proudly supporting the youth of our community. We'll go to break, come back, and wrap up with the news. Stay with us. Aggie Nation powered by the Eagle here on Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone FM 102.7.